Right, this is Zoe Young with Indie Media Global Reports for Resonance 104.4 FM, and I'm here with Andrew. Can you tell us about yourself, please?
I work with a project called Engage Media, which is an online video distribution project based in Australia, and we distribute video from Southeast Asia, Australia and the Pacific, and also produce a free software video sharing platform called Plumi.
Plumi, that's an interesting name. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, I can. Plumi is a Plone-based content management system, which is a bit geeky, but what that means is it's based on a free software platform that's already in fairly wide use called Plone, and we've basically built some extensions to it and some additional functionalities and packaged it all up so as to produce a video sharing system out of the box that people can install to produce their own websites. And it's what we use to run Engage Media.
Why shouldn't people just use YouTube?
People shouldn't use YouTube because numerous reasons. First is the terms and conditions of YouTube are really quite dubious in terms of what they give themselves the rights to do with your video, which are things like on-sell it and make money out of it or cut it up and basically do more or less whatever they want. With it, obviously you can only upload 10 minutes of video to YouTube. It's all very low resolution, doesn't really encourage remixing between of the content on there. Can't assign open content licenses like Creative Commons to it. You can't use peer-to-peer networks to share the content, so it's still this very centralized, big broadcast model in some ways of distribution where they have hundreds or thousands of servers and everyone connects to them and then distributes out. So it doesn't have this kind of peer-to-peer model of sharing. And I think, well, lastly, and there's probably a lot more reasons, but they're making a lot of money off your work, and if you're a video producer putting work up there, are getting none. So, for example, they made $1.65 billion when they sold themselves to Google, but no video makers got paid any money. So someone's getting exploited, and the people who are getting exploited are probably the video makers. All the people adding comments, all the people who basically add value and create the community and the content for the site.
So it's ordinary people uploading their video to a corporate site is sort of allowing the corporation to make money out of them, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it's in some ways a new corporate media. I mean, it's very different to the old corporate media, but I think that there's still, I think people haven't really understood entirely the ramifications of these type of spaces and perhaps the way in which there's this kind of internet landlordism emerging where everyone essentially doesn't own the means of production or distribution but relies on people like Rupert Murdoch or Google or whoever else to distribute their works for them. So Plumi is basically a way of, you know, instead of you having to rent your house, be able to build your own house, which I think is a very different social dynamic and power relation. So if we're interested in video or the net as a transformative tool for social change, then changing the power dynamic where you don't have internet landlords and instead, you know, are the owner-builder of your own house that you share with other people, then I think we need different types of technologies.
So to build your own cyber house, you need to use things like Plumi.
Well, Plumi is one tool amongst others. It's one tool to build a video sharing site fairly easily. Mostly, well, as far as we know, there's only one other out-of-the-box free software video sharing platform that exists at the moment, which is Broadcast Machine, which the Participatory Culture Foundation in the US produced, but that's not so actively developed at the moment. There are other people producing free software platforms for video sharing at the moment, but none of the others are currently out there to our knowledge. So most video sharing sites at the moment do not allow you to basically use their platform to build your own website. So even the ones that allow you to, say, add Creative Commons licenses like Blip TV still have this content hoarding mechanism where you have to use their server and their website and, you know, deal with their advertising or not advertising on their space. So still, you know, it's the more friendly landlord scenario, I guess, but we're interested in not really being landlords but more providing tools for people to create their own distribution mechanisms.
Wasn't that the point of Indie Media originally? to sort of create that space, build your own media on the net.
Yeah, and I think indie media was very effective at that for a certain period of time. I think it's tailed off to a large degree now, at least certainly in Oceania. Not so sure of the European situation, but from the other side of the planet, it does also seem to not have evolved as rapidly as it had in the first few years of indie media. So I think that it's the technology hasn't evolved in indie media at anywhere near the rate that it did at for the first few years, and has really plateaued a lot. And I think that's for a whole number of reasons, many of them really social reasons rather than technological reasons, because the tools are there for people to build, but no one seems to be able to have gotten it together to, you know, build the collaborations and the cooperation that's necessary to, you know, build a new free software platform for indie media or to dramatically improve the ones that currently exist. So the result is that a lot of people have been moving away to things like YouTube because, you know, they do offer a lot of things people want to use, and they do make it very easy, and indie media hasn't really managed to do that.
That's always a key question, isn't it? Is making it easy for people to do.
Hmm.
Is the point of Plumie to make it easy for people to use sort of free softwares and video on the net?
Yeah, it is. It's still, I mean, these things are inherently complicated to a certain extent because it's technology just does that. But I think that part of what Plumie and other free software projects are going to carry is a different ethic or a different way that people relate to technology. So not as a passive consumer, but someone who can also contribute to the construction of the technology. So hence it's open source, so people can, you know, see how it works and understand it. If you're not a geek, that might not necessarily be easy for you to do. But the idea is that if you are a geek, then you can contribute to the development of it and understand how it works and install it and modify it for your own purposes. But yeah, I think making things accessible is one of the really big challenges in any technology in terms of how people use it, or if they use it at all. And, you know, indie media did do that at the beginning, because, you know, 7 years ago, if you wanted to put something up on the internet, you needed to be very geeky to do that. So to have a publishing platform where all you had to do was put in a title and a description and a story and hit submit or publish was, you know, quite really, really radical at the time, because almost no other sites, places on the internet would allow you to just put your own content up there. Now it's commonplace. Now it's like, you know, Web 2.0 and, you know, how all these companies are making billions of dollars. But that simplicity is, the people who have been driving that simplicity and that ease of use are really now the big corporate sites and not the grassroots, you know, free software activists or media activists who were doing it 5 or 6 years ago.
So, but there is still stuff going on the free software and media activist networking side. Can you tell us a bit about stuff like Transmission and...
Sure. Yeah, so, I mean, there are definitely things going on. So, I mean, there's things going on within indie media, not to suggest that there aren't, but it's more to say that it has really slowed down quite dramatically. I mean, at least in Australia, we've had 3 indie medias close in the last 2 years, the most recent one being Melbourne, which I was involved in. There's only really 2 functional indie medias in Australia. So, but on the other hand, there are a lot of other initiatives going on as well that have forked off indie media, that have maybe had their roots in indie media, but people trying to do something different. So, I mean, Engage Media, for one, all 5 of us have been involved in indie media previously. Some of us still are involved a little bit, others not really anymore. The Transmission Network would be another example. So the Transmission is a network of activist online video projects working with free software. So it's mostly a developers network, so people who are, you know, developing things like Common Metadata Standard or free software video sharing platforms, or looking at free software video codecs, so a whole bunch of different ways of collaboration, subtitling tools, or, you know, things like that. And I guess it evolved in a space where that really wasn't happening. People weren't talking about all these tools and how to collaborate on them. People were really working by themselves. So the idea was to really basically build a communications network so that people would start talking to each other and start sharing and working together and working on shared aims and shared technology platforms, so everyone wasn't, you know, reinventing the wheel, basically. So this, yeah, and I think there's a lot of evolution going on there. It's not, you know, screaming along like, say, indie media was in the early 2000s, where there was, you know, hundreds of people kind of contributing to it, but it's definitely cruising along and starting to produce quite a few interesting initiatives.
And what for you is the most exciting part of it? I mean, what is it that keeps you working on this? Even, I mean, it's not exactly a well-paid business, or
generally, or transmission.
Well, this world of independent media, technological development.
I think there's just a screaming need. Basically, it seems, from where I sit at least, really obvious that these things need to exist. People need to have, you know, the technological tools to distribute their own media without being reliant on, you know, big corporate entities, and they have that to a certain extent and to a large degree. You know, net activism over the last 10 years has been really successful. It's been one of the places that's drawn in a huge amount of energy and been hugely inventive in many ways, and so it's, I think, maybe compared to some of the other activism I've done at the moment, I find it quite a hopeful space. I see a lot of people who are very optimistic and being very creative in terms of what they believe is possible and what they're making possible.
So if anyone wanted to help out and get involved in this technological development and also the social side of it, that's where I'm interested in it, is sort of helping people understand the potential of this and working with it. Where would people go to sort of engage with this process?
Well, they could go to transmission.cc, or they could go to Plumi, PLUMI.org. They could check out engagemedia.org. That would probably be a bit of a start. Three's the start.
So is
a lot more out there. Google will help you sometimes.
Good old Google.
Google, good and evil. But yeah.
So is it a case of sort of indie media is dead, long live indie media somehow?
Some people might say that. I could almost subscribe to that theory, but that could be controversial. But I think there's definitely a debate there that needs to happen.
Thank you very much, Andrew from Engage Media in Australia. It's been very interesting.
No worries. Thank you.